episode 64 of Write Your Best Book, the top 10 rated podcast created for authors by authors. I sat down with another amazing author to discuss another writing topic that all authors face at one point or another on their writing journey, mastering multiple POV, with author Julietta Henderson. But before we dive into this week's discussion, I want to let you all know that if you've noticed a difference in the sound quality of the episodes this season, you're not hearing things. Last season, I was in my old house, which was smaller and had a much smaller, more insulated office space. But as you probably know by now, at the end of last year, I finally bought and moved into my forever home and office, which is lovely in so many ways. However, the 10-foot vaulted ceilings, hardwood floors, and office that is twice the size of my old one, the acoustics are just unreal. And I've done what I can so far. I'm no techie, you know that, including adding acoustic panels to all around the desk and the walls, and even surrounding my mic to eliminate some of that echo effect. But it's still not doing the trick. So I consulted with some podcast pros that I know, and they recommended to me a different type of microphone, which was so hard to find, but I just found an order. It should be here by the time I record next week's episode, and hopefully that will get us back to normal with sound quality. If not, I'm not really sure what else to do. I appreciate your patience, though, in the meantime, and for sticking with us, even though I know it's kind of not the best thing to listen to sometimes. Now, about this week's discussion, one thing I share with my coaching clients and even my editing clients early on in our work together is that there are three super important questions all authors must answer for themselves and have nailed down before they begin writing. Most of us already have these questions answered, even if we didn't really put any intentional thought behind it. But the more intentional thought we do put behind these three questions, the easier the writing process will be, especially with our first book. Those three questions are, does the story work better in past or present tense? Does the story work better in first or third person perspective? And does the story work better with one, two, or multiple POVs? Today, we're specifically going to address the third question about how many points of view we need to include in our story, and specifically if we choose to go with two or more of the POVs, how to master writing these different voices so as to avoid head hopping and create different, easily identifiable voices for each character to whom we assign a POV. If we don't put some serious thought and planning into the decision, what winds up happening is we accidentally slip between perspectives, known as head hopping, and we end up with two, three, or more characters who each sound basically exactly the same to the one before, making it impossible to tell the difference between. And with us today, as mentioned earlier, is author Julietta Henderson, whose debut book, great title, hear this out, The Truth About Norman Foreman, is already causing quite a buzz in the literary world. Norman Foreman is a beautifully written tale about a mother and a son on a journey, and it's written from both perspectives, and Norman as Norman grows older. So Julietta has been writing professionally for more than 25 years, and she's the perfect author to have this discussion with on writing multiple POVs this week. So without further ado, let me bring you my conversation with Julietta Henderson. Okay, guys, welcome back to Write Your Best Book, the top 10 rated podcast created for authors by authors. And as I promised in the intro earlier, we have with us today author Julietta Henderson. And we're going to be talking about a very common struggle I believe many authors face, which is how to properly handle writing dual POV, meaning two perspectives of characters in one story. But first, let's start by welcoming Julietta. Hi, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, hi, Christina, and thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. And I don't know, I do know that my listeners are going to enjoy this beautiful accent of yours. Tell us where this accent's from, because I mistook it earlier.
Well, I'm from Australia. I lived in the UK for a long time. So my Australian friends and family think I've lost my Australian accent. And then when I go back to the UK, they say, you sound like such an Aussie. So, you know, I shouldn't say it myself. What's that?
I said, is it a mishmash of British?
For me, it's more Australian. I've been here most of my life, but I did spend a lot of, and I do go back and forwards to the UK. So maybe, and also my mother's an English teacher and a speech therapist. So possibly we were, you know.
I was cracked when you were little when you said things wrong.
More caretaking with that diction. So I'm not such a drawl of an Australian like some people are.
I think it's beautiful. Well, let's start with you telling my listeners a bit more about you, other than the fact that you're an Aussie. And your books and your journey from when you first started writing to where you are today.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been writing professionally, so for a job, getting paid for it, not all that much, for about 25 years now. I'm very lucky to have always had some very regular clients, but also I've sort of tried my hand at everything. And as most freelance writers know, you've got to do everything and be prepared to do everything. So I've done everything from travel writing to copy and content writing to real estate copywriting, which I still do, to marketing, to ghostwriting, nonfiction books, everything you can imagine. So that's professionally. Writing creatively, again, like a lot of authors or writers, I've been doing that since I was very, very small. And I was always a prolific writer and reader when I was a kid. And so I've started quite a few novels, you know, that sit in the bottom of, you know, some of them were even printed out and typed up and all the rest of it. And I've got a few that are, probably two that are what I would have considered a few years ago, would have considered finished. Now that I have a finished published book, I know they're nowhere near finished. And I'm very scared to ever go and look at them again. But so the book that I've just had published, The Funny Thing About Norman Foreman, is my first published book. So I'm very excited about that.
Congratulations. By the way, name alone, title alone, you should win an award just on that.
Oh, no, because I didn't make the title. It was actually called something else when I wrote it, but the name is so catchy. When I remember thinking, I was very pleased with myself when I came up with the name Norman Foreman, because it made me laugh. And it obviously made my editors laugh, because that was the first thing they did.
It does. And when I first saw the title of your book, I laughed out loud, not in a mean way, but I was like, oh, that's so catchy. So, yeah, effective. Hey, that's a good marketing strategy. And that actually, right there, we can take something from that. Your title is important, because look at, I bet you anything, you've gotten tons of readers just from the title alone.
You know, it's quite funny, because when my editors in the UK changed the title or came up, I always knew my original title, which I never tell anyone because it's never coming to light. So I always knew it was a working title. But when they came up with this title, I was a little bit taken aback, because actually the Norman Foreman, it was kind of the name was a little bit of an in-joke, maybe a chapter in sort of thing. You didn't know his last name. And then it was sort of a little bit of and his last name's this. And yeah. So I looked at that when I saw the title, I was like, well, that loses my joke. And then I'm thinking, well, it's actually not that much of a funny joke anyway. It's not, you know, so you have to, as everyone or anyone who is going into publishing or has been published, you do have to let go of a lot of things when you are privileged enough to be published. And so when I got my new title, I thought about it overnight and I was like, oh. And then by the time I woke up in the morning, I was like, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's a cool story. Yeah. Well, as you know, the topic for the discussion this week is writing in dual POV. But so that everyone's on the same page, let's start by telling my listeners their basic options when it comes to choosing how many points of view that they can write their novel from and the difference between them.
Okay, so you can obviously write from a single point of view, so that's just from one character, or you can write from multiple points of view, and I'm sure you can write from as many as you like. You can write from
George R. R. Martin.
Exactly, that's a really good example, actually, but I think you also have to be very aware that the more you choose, the more difficult your task is. But once you decide, or I don't know which part of this comes first, but you decide whether you're writing in single or multiple point of views, but you also then obviously need to decide whether you're writing from first person or third person or second person, which no one seems to talk about, but well, I don't talk about it either because it's too confusing. You need to decide whether...
I think Carolyn Katniss did it with that one book, You. She pulled it off. But I think that's like the only possible option is that one storyline.
Yeah, it's kind of like that whole breaking fourth wall. And I actually do it occasionally. I do it very occasionally, go, well, you might not believe me, but da 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 da. And so I do throw it in, but I don't.
That works. I think that
works. Exactly. Yeah. So, but you could also do a mixture of both. So you can do your point of view first person for some of it, for some sections, and you can do third person for your other point of view. I mean, I think it gets confusing then. I can't think of a book actually that does that, but I've definitely seen it.
I said, oh, I have. Yes.
You have one? No, I don't have one.
Presumed Dead, my sixth book. And I didn't like it at first. Lisa Gardner does it. Lisa Gardner does it. Her the D.D. Warren novels. And that's the first place I saw it. And I tried it because I kind of, at first I started reading that book of hers, and I love her books. And I was like, oh, that's weird. But it grew on me. So yeah, that is absolutely an option. I'm glad you brought that up. You can definitely play with those things.
And actually what you just said then is really pertinent as well, that it grew on you, because I think that's the really important thing, is you've got to get the reader, and it's got to be comfortable for them, or uncomfortable if that's your tactic. If you want to make it uncomfortable, well, then that's a whole nother story. But you've got to make sure you're not confusing a reader. You've got to make sure you're not annoying a reader. But I think the most important thing when you're choosing a point of view is that it's got to serve your story. It's got to be right for you. And you can really do what you want. You can write from 11 points of view if you want, but you've got to be prepared to put in a lot of work. And I'm saying that not from experience, because I would never even dream of tackling that. I think it would confuse me. But I know great writers have done it, and fair play to them, and, you know, hats off.
Yeah, exactly. Hats off to them, because I think the highest I've gotten, I had one that had 4. And that... It is, because you have to have a voice and a personality and all these things different for every single perspective. And it is a lot of work. And we'll get into the perspective and voices here in just a minute. But I think that I agree with you. You know, those are the basic decisions. And that's part of what I always tell my coaching clients. There's three important questions that I think you should always ask yourself before you start writing. Which POV, or how many POVs? Which perspective, first or third, and then past or present, you know, or future. That's, you know, so those things, if you nail those down, you'll have an easier time. But all right, let's move on, because I think you and I could probably have this discussion on every topic for a whole episode. Have you written any of your stories from the dual perspective? I know you said you haven't done a lot of perspective, but at least two. And if so, tell me what that was like for you, especially the first time around, and why you chose to do it that way.
So I have this, my published book is from dual perspectives. So that's great. And to be honest with you, every book that I have written so far, as you know, I have to keep saying this is the only one that's been published, so no one's ever going to see the other ones. But I have written from first person, single point of view, in everything except for this one. So I've only ever done single point of view. I don't know. Well, no, I do know what, and I think we'll cover that, but I do know what changed with this one. But I really like it. I've discovered I really like writing from the dual perspective, because it gives you, I mean, obviously just writing from first person in the first place gives you a really good insight into a character. But I think if you're writing from two different characters, it can really help your the pacing in your story, or moving the story along, because you can keep everything interesting, and you can be showing it from someone else's point of view, but you're still moving the story along. And it's quite, I don't know, it's quite an easy thing to do because you're jumping from point of views to jump from one place to another in a story. And so that gets you from, you know, from the bedroom to the lounge room or whatever, wherever you need to be. It's a good device to do, I think. So I like it personally. And I also, again, from a dual point of view, I haven't written third person. I've written both in first person, and that I absolutely love because while there are sort of risks and there are cons to it, it gets you so deep inside a character's head and you can show the reader exactly what you're feeling. And it's really nice when it's dual, obviously when it's, you know, 3, 4, 5, even more so, and it becomes even more of a web of, you know, interior sort of thoughts and things like that. But I think when you're playing, for me particularly, dual narrative, and particularly for me in my story, a mother and son, I think it gives you such a great opportunity to show how differently two people can approach the same situation.
Yeah, and I also like that because you can see things that one character can't see or know or feel or anything or experience, but the other, then you switch to that other alternative perspective and suddenly you do know it. Yeah, there's so many things you can do when you have more than one POV, but I think it's super interesting. I didn't connect that you were saying you're writing dual or multiple POV in first person. I've never tried that. So that's really interesting. Is that difficult?
I love it.
But I'm curious now, is that difficult to do, to write, to keep in first person for two different perspectives, basically?
Well, so wasn't for me. I don't know what that says about my brain. maybe some kind of strange things. I don't know. Maybe I've already got a multiple personality. But no, I found it quite easy, to be honest with you. But I think the reason I found it so easy was because I'd done the work beforehand in my head, not on paper. I had so much of those characters. I knew them so, so well. I mean, and I always say they arrived, and everyone's heard an author say this, oh, they arrived in my head fully formed. And of course, and I can honestly say that, they arrived and there they were. But I did so much thinking about them. So they weren't really fully formed. They were fully formed before they ever got onto the page, is more like. And then, look, I found it very easy to do both. I think possibly because my characters, that could be the reason too that I found it easy, was my characters are so different. One's a mother, one's a 12-year-old boy. So you couldn't be more.
On the storyline a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. So I've got one more question for you before we have to take a little break. One thing that all authors must keep in mind, in my opinion, when writing a book from more than one perspective, is making sure that each voice is distinct and identifiable. Do you have any advice for my listeners on making their two POVs completely separate and distinct and identifiable?
Yeah. It's, I mean, obviously the easiest thing is to name your chapters, you know, John and Mary. That's the thing. But sometimes that's taken, as you would know, sometimes that's a publisher's decision, that's taken out of your hands. You know, it probably wouldn't be very likely if you really wanted it. But I think a good device is to use, probably this more pertains to if you're writing in third person, but to use the character's name very close to the front of the chapter. So, you know, George walked into the room is, you know, obviously we're now in George's point of view. But in terms of writing in first or any other way, I think it's things like the dialogue, like being really careful with your dialogue and making it very, very clear that that dialogue's coming from that character. And again, that comes down to your character development and knowing your own characters and being confident that you know them and not being tentative and going, ooh, would so-and-so say that or wouldn't they? Really, you've got to know. There's no way to say that. Yeah, and also their actions, because so-and-so might not, you know, if you've got 2, 3, 5 different characters and they suddenly do something really out of character that they haven't done for the first 10 chapters, start going very extreme, like they pick up their packet of cigarettes, you're like, well, hang on a sec, she gets smoked or whatever, you know, any action or even just actions that are, you know, more generic like that. Like if someone slammed a door, you'd be like, well, it's not like so-and-so. Yeah. She's gonna like it, you know. So dialogue, actions, and also interior thoughts. I mean, that's the joy of writing, you know, different points of view. You've got interior thoughts, and so you can fairly easily define, you know, who your character is. But I think you've just got to really stay on the ball and just make sure that you're consistent. I have heard people saying, I mean, you might have different thoughts on this as well. Like I've read and sort of advice and things like that to write all one character's parts all the way through, then write the others. It didn't work for me. I tried that, but it really took me personally out of the story. I mean, obviously I went back and finessed every little piece a million zillion times, but it didn't work for me to say, all right, well, I'm going to write all her parts and then I'll go back. No, and I can see you're not agreeing either. Yeah, it's...
Well, I can see where... I'm not dismissing for somebody who may be listening. If people who are just listening or probably didn't know, I was shaking my head. No. I'm not dismissing the approach necessarily. I'm just saying for me, I don't understand. I feel like I wouldn't be able to, I'm an outliner. So for me, that definitely wouldn't work, but I feel like I couldn't get a cohesive story or timeline easily.
Yeah, I feel like that as well. Yeah. It's not, but, and also I think
it is an approach that some people may.
Look, I'm sure everyone's different. I'm sure it works for many people and works well, but as you say, for both of us, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I think also another thing really that I've gone back and forwards on a lot of times and changed is to make sure that as your story moves along, that you're writing a particular scene in the right POV. Mm-hmm. And it can change completely. And I've done that several. I did it yesterday in the book I'm currently writing. I was looking at the scene and I was going, oh, actually, what about if that was from her perspective? And it can totally change everything, and it can give you a whole new insight, or it can, you know, physically move you along a story a lot easier. So I think you have to, you just mentioned you're an outliner. I'm very much not, although I'm trying to be. Clearly I'd save a lot of time if I was.
One or the other, usually there's hardly any in between.
I know, but I think, yeah, if you sort of loosen up, and if you just have that, if you just let yourself say, oh, what if it was written from the other, you know, give yourself that break to try something different, to make sure each scene is from the correct point of view. And that's, again, I think that's, I can't bang on about it enough, but it's about your character development and knowing what your character would and wouldn't do. So
yeah, you can't bang on. Is that what you said? Bang on about it. I love it. I'm going to steal that. You can't, you're right, because character development is, I mean, we can't even underpin how important it is for you to have these developed characters. So yes, you're right. And you can't, what was it? Bang on about it. I love it. That's so awesome. I love some of the, like, hearing all these authors and clients and people. I have clients that are in Jerusalem and New Zealand and Australia, all these places. I love hearing these cool phrases. I pick up on them.
One thing about COVID and all of that, the world's become even smaller. I mean, it's always, we've had the technology to do all this sort of stuff, but it's really become even smaller, hasn't it? We can do whatever we like from our, I mean,
buddies in Australia. Hello, Jerusalem. All right. Well, I have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with just a couple more questions and then we'll wrap her up.
Lovely.
Okay. You guys are going to be excited to hear this. So this is the last week for a while now that I'll be spending these breaks talking about our services and products. Yay! I finally got around to hiring a new staff, which totally helped, and got some time to secure some more sponsors for the podcast. And boy, have we got some great sponsors lined up for the rest of the season. And they have each agreed to offer all my listeners some really cool discounts, free trials, coupon codes, and other offers. But allow me to take this one last opportunity, indulge me, and let me remind you that our online retail shop, Modern Boss Boutique, offers unique, modern, and trendy home office essentials that you can use to create your own writing nook. We have floating wall-mounted computer desks, ergonomic but really cool and trendy desk chairs, plenty of storage and organization options, and things you can use to decorate your home office and make it uniquely yours. Not only that, we have all the essentials an author needs to create and stick with a manageable and productive writing schedule, including desktop weekly calendars where you can write down your schedule, notebooks where you can make notes, planner stickers to, you know, make it pop, and even sand hourglasses or digital timers to help you stick to that writing schedule. You can even use it for Pomodoro. And right now, if you head on over to modernbossboutique.com, I'll give you 20% off your very first purchase if you use the code MODERN20 at checkout. So visit modernbossboutique.com and be sure to sign up for our newsletter while you're there and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and even TikTok at Modern Boss Boutique. Now, with that out of the way, let's get back to my discussion with Julietta Henderson on writing and mastering multiple POV. Okay, we are back with Julietta Henderson, and we are going to complete our discussion on writing in dual POV, or more than one POV. So, Julietta, one question that I often get when it comes to having more than one POV per story is how we can identify the protagonist from the other characters, the second POV or the love interest or whoever. So let's use that example of a contemporary romance where we have the heroine and say her love interest as the two main POVs. How do we know which is the protagonist if they both get a voice?
I think it's very much tied to your plot. That's back to deciding who has what chapter, who's got the limelight in what chapter. I think, I don't know if you'd have a favorite or whatever, but I think you could choose I think your protagonist has definitely got to get, I guess it would be different. I mean, there's probably a device where you don't have your protagonist having the main, you know, more of the story, but
sure, or the journey, something like that. I can't think of the word either, but I know what you mean.
But I think it's really, again, it's to do with your plot. It's what works in your story. But if you want it, you've got to identify. I mean, I think, and that's part of the plot, isn't it? It's like identifying who your protagonist is. Like the reader's got to know who they're following, and I think they'll know that from the first page. But in a romance, I mean, you know, if we're using that as an example, obviously your protagonist is going to be the one who's, you know, having the journey, and oh, you know, it's a girl loves boy, boy hates girl, la 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 la, you know, your protagonist is the girl, and I guess it's who you have more, the reader would have more sympathy for, and all of that. Yeah, but I think it's really important that you can see that. I think the first thing, whenever you've got to really be really honest when you're doing your read-throughs or when you're doing your writing, you'll know. Like if you're writing along and you go, oh yeah, I've forgotten that he's the main guy in the story or she's the main girl in the story, if you're losing that, well then your reader's losing that as well, I think.
That is exactly right. And I like what you said about how the readers, it's like who they're going to connect with, and it should show through the plot. Even if you're devoting, at least I don't think I've ever done strictly two POVs. I've done one or more, but it would seem to me that even if you devoted 50% even 50% to the other character, that it still should be about whose journey it is, and the reader will connect with the one who's driving the story.
Absolutely. And interestingly, you say that because in mine, it is the dual POV. And the book is obviously called The Funny Thing About Norman Foreman, but it's very much, and I'm very, very keen to, I always point out that it's just as much his mother, Sadie's story as it is Norman's. And it's just as much. And when people have read the book, they go, oh yeah, because Norman's a 12-year-old boy and he's cute and we love him and all the rest of it. And he's got this terrible story. So he steals the limelight. And so I often have to come in when I'm doing publicity and things like that, and I say, it's just as much Sadie's story, because that's very important. It's really important to me as the author, but it's also really important to the story. And to throw in another little spanner in the works, it comes from those two points of view, like Norman's and his mother. But there's a third character who is turning out to be everyone's favourite. Like they absolutely love this character of Leonard, who's an older man.
That happens.
And he doesn't even have a voice, you know what I mean? Like he's he appears all the way through it, of course, because he's in the story and he's a main part of the story, but he never gets to, except in his dialogue, when whoever is speaking, but he never has his own voice, and yet people have really, really warmed to him. So again, it's your character development. It's putting them in the right time at the right place, or right place at the right time, I should say. It's tying your stories together correctly. And that's what I said. Like, I honestly, I don't even know, when you say you've done up to 4 or 5 characters, I wouldn't know how to tie a story like that together. So, gosh, it was hard enough with 2. But as long if you can do it, do it. But make sure that you do it correctly, and that you're tying together of your storyline or your plotline doesn't distract from your characters and the story they're trying to tell.
Agreed. 1,000% agreed. Yeah, I can also relate to that in your Norman Foreman book, where my last book had 3 POVs. But everybody has been commenting on the protagonist's partner. She's a detective. On her partner. And I mean, of course, I put thought into him and I developed him, but I didn't put that much thought into it, and people love him. They're like, oh, what's Felton going to do next? And I'm like, hadn't really thought about him.
Amazing, isn't it? Because same comment. What's Leonard, you know, is there another, you know, it's like, and it gives you as a writer ideas. You go, wow, people love that. Maybe there's a spinoff for Felton. Maybe he's going to have his own book, you know.
Too, because, well, you know, as authors, we should always be listening to the feedback we get from our readers. We glitched out for a second, but luckily it was not in the middle of anything important. So, all right, I think we're back up to it. So my producers can probably fix that, because it wasn't in the middle of an answer. So we're good. All right, we got just one more, I think, for you. When writing in dual POV, are there any, like, quote unquote rules or guidelines that we need to follow? And you talked about it a little bit just now, like timeline and things like that, when it comes to balancing these two perspectives. For example, as I said, like, does it need to be 50-50 even? Or like, what kind of guidelines should we follow?
I love a good rule, and then I love to break them, I don't think. And particularly in writing, you know, it's like any craft. You learn the rules and then you break them. To be honest, I don't know if there's, you know, I'm sure different advice would be, you know, balance it, whatever. For me, it's whatever serves your story. It's whatever serves your story. It's whatever feels right to you, whatever feels natural and normal. To me, the way I did it, and I did this very deliberately, and it seems to have worked, is to have one point of view dominate the first half to third. And then the other one be very shorter chapters, like still in there, but regularly shorter. And then as the plot progressed and as the story, as they, you know, continued on their journey, I sort of flipped it, and the younger protagonist, like Norman, his part became bigger, and her parts became not shrinking to nothing.
Right.
Less, because he was becoming more prominent, and that's how it worked for me. And I guess because mine is a road trip as well, that linear sort of plot line works like that as well. But I just think, and I've read books where just every now and again some point of view comes in and you're like, oh, and you're shocked and you're jarred with it, but it works. Whereas I've also read books where I'm like, who am I reading? What? That doesn't even make sense. So I think do what you like, as long as you can make it work, and as long as it's a satisfying experience for the reader, really, because that's your goal. My goal and yours.
It's not confusing. We don't want to confuse the reader ever.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times there's this hard, I mean, I've always said anything in writing, everything in writing, it's almost a balancing act between two extremes, I feel like. And one, in this particular instance, you know, you don't want to, people want to always say, oh, I've got to shock the reader, or I've got to jar them, you know, I got to, and that's true. Yeah. You want to, you know, catch them off guard or whatever, but you don't want to shock them out of their chair or like have them discombobulated and not sure what's going on. So you do have to strike a fine balance between like catching them off guard a little bit and like totally confusing them.
Yeah. I think you just need to put your, we're all readers as well as writers. And I think you just put yourself in the position and go, would that annoy me if that takes you out? Because sometimes you do things selfishly as an author, but if it takes a reader out of the story, and you'll know, like, you, if you're honest with yourself, you know, you think, you might think you're being very clever, and that's all well and good, but you know, if you want to write a book that's satisfying for a reader, or that's, you know, I'm not saying don't be different and don't be daring, but it's got to be a satisfying experience, because someone's going to sit there for 400 pages or whatever with your book. It's got to be worth their while, whether it's shocking or whether it's lovely and floaty, it's got to be satisfying.
I heard a good bit of advice, and I wish I could attribute it to the right person. It's just something I've heard over the years, maybe even more than once, in that if you are intentionally being clever or shocking or whatever, then it's probably not, doesn't need to stay in there. If you do something and it turns out to be clever and shocking, then it probably will work. So I wish I knew who I heard that from, because I was like, that really is probably true.
True. I love that. And I love it even more because that's true in life as well, when you're having a conversation with someone.
Very true.
Yeah.
As much as I would just love to chat forever and ever, we've got to keep to a deadline. So, but before we go, I would like to give you a chance and my listeners a chance to hear a little bit about, I mean, it's completely up to you how much or how little you want to share. Can we follow you? Newsletters? How do we find your books? You just give me all the juicy details.
Yeah, well, I'll show you. I know people are
just yes.
But I'm holding up the cover. So the book's The Funny Thing About Norman Foreman. You can find me. I do most of my social media on Instagram, and I'm on Julietta Henderson Author on Instagram. I am on Twitter, but I kind of don't spend much time on there. I'm Julietta Julia on Twitter, and my website's juliettahenderson.com. Very easy. And I can't say I send out a regular newsletter, but it's on my list to do, and I plan on sending a regular newsletter, and just with just information about publication and things like that, and what I'm working on next and all of that.
Ooh, I like that. Well, guys, be sure that you look, and we're going to put Julietta, your website and anything like that in the show notes. So guys, as long as you're not driving, if you want to click on those, there should be a hyperlink, and you can just go right now and check out her website, which does have your book listed. Does it have a link to? Okay, there you go. That's what we need to do. Okay, Julietta, it's been a wonderful and fun conversation, very informative, and I'm so glad that you came on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Christina, on your very, very good podcast. I love it. I'm a converted listener. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Okay, so hopefully now y'all have a better grasp of the importance of determining your POV before you write, as well as clearly defining your character voices when writing in multiple POV. If you're still unsure which way to go, here's just some general guidelines to help you decide. First, consider your genre. Some genres work well with singular POV, such as women's fiction and some historical fiction, while others, like romance, seem to lend themselves better to dual POV because you can showcase the heroine and her love interest perspective on the budding romance. Still others, such as fantasy and recently suspensive thrillers, work really well when featuring multiple POV. For example, and even in my suspense novels when I write them, featuring the perspective of the protagonist, the victim, and the villain can give your reader a 360 look at the story and even see things the protagonist is not aware of, which, believe it or not, can increase tension and add a super duper tense sense of immediacy to your story. After considering your genre, think about your storyline. Does it make more sense for your story to be told strictly from the narrator slash protagonist's perspective? Or would other character voices make sense? Take Julietta's book, for example. Norman Foreman is about a journey with a mother and her son, and it shows us how Norman and his mother view the trip from each of their perspectives. This story would almost not really make as much sense and not be as beautiful if it was just told from Norman or his mom's perspective. Whatever you decide, make sure you avoid head-hopping. The
easiest way to do this is to remember that every character should feature only one character POV. And within that chapter, we cannot know what any other character is seeing, thinking, feeling, meaning, wanting, or basically anything else. Only the character whose perspective you are featuring. Now, yes, before I get feedback, yes, you can have multiple POVs per chapter. But the reason I said not to do that is that it's trickier and it's not as common recently. So I don't recommend trying this, especially not on your first book. But if you do, the same rules apply. Within each scene, only show us what that character can see, think, feel, observe, hear, know, etc. Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. Be sure to check out Julieta's book, The Truth About Norman Foreman, on Amazon. Visit her website and find and follow her on social media. And please be a dear and do the same for Write Your Best Book. We always follow back and try our best to engage every single day with our followers. Talk soon, and in the meantime, go write your best book. This is what you've been-